love the fact that Pastor still calls me a young man. I really do because we'll go ahead and hand out the handouts. I really love the fact that Pastor calls me a young man because it's approaching 18 years ago that I gave my life to Christ. And give God some praise, man, you know. Because if I wouldn't have got saved, no, just joking. You know what, but it's really a blessing. It really is a blessing. In April, it'll be 18 years. I was thinking about that today. And I was thinking about how faithful God is. How many of y'all know that God is really faithful? He's faithful. Let me tell you, he's really faithful. And as we talk tonight, I've got something real simple to communicate to you tonight. You're going to look at your handout and say, whoa, what happened to all the points? Where is everything? I've got something real simple I want you to communicate tonight. Because one thing I've learned in 18 years of serving Christ, that it really doesn't matter how much I know of God's word if I don't put it to work. What really matters is what we put to work. How many of y'all understand that? You know, it's like me. I have a garage full of tools. But every time I go to find one, I can't find them because I don't put them to work that much. But when I first gave my life to Jesus, God just did something in my heart. I'll never forget this day. It was in the latter part of 1996, and then it was April of 1997 that I really committed. But I'll never forget what happened. I was in a jail cell, and there I was with my life just not going the way that I thought it would go. It wasn't going good, and here I was depressed and broken, and this guy came to me, and he began to tell me about Jesus. And I had heard of Christ before growing up, but he began to share with me in a new way. And at that point, I was just ready. And I'll never forget that when Christ got a hold of my heart, I was in a jail cell in 1996 in Rio Grande County. Some of y'all know where that is. And here I was in this jail cell, and I began to think about my brother. I began to think about my mom. I began to think about my sisters because I knew that they also needed Jesus in their life. And I began to understand that without Christ, that we were destined to hell without him. There's just no way of sugarcoating that. That's what the scripture teaches. And I knew that Christ has saved me, but I felt responsible now for this message. I began to feel responsible for this great truth. And as I got down on my knees and I said, God, I pray that you would just open up my brother's eyes, open up my mom's eyes, open up my sister's eyes, open up their eyes, and Lord God, touch them in a powerful way because I knew this responsibility was on me. How many of y'all have ever felt that? We come to church and we begin to have God's word soak into our heart, and we know that we're responsible for what we do with that. I remember several weeks ago, Pastor was preaching, and I'll never forget, he said, but what will you do with Jesus? What will we do with Jesus? And now the older I get, I'm watching friends that when I thought we were young, they're dying and getting old and still in those same things. And this question is the same. What are we going to do with Jesus? Because it's not important that we just simply come to church. But as we've been on this series and as we dig into God's word, we see that God doesn't want us just to come to church, but he wants us to be the church. He wants us to be the church. Because if there wasn't anybody that showed up that day in jail, like if he had a choice to get locked up, but in my mind, he chose to go. But what if he didn't? What if he wasn't there and he didn't share Christ with me? That was my appointed time to hear and to respond. And when I got out, I knew that this burden, this responsibility to share Christ was on me. But let me tell you the truth, I was afraid. I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know how to share Christ. I was afraid of failing, and I didn't know how to go about sharing it with them because let me remind you that I came from a broken family. I didn't do good in school. I had never really been successful at anything except for being bad in my life. The only thing I was good at that point, or that I thought I was good at, was being a criminal. And it got me in jail, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do, but before I when I got out and before I really kind of let that fear get a hold of me, I started with what I had, and I decided that, you know what, I'm just going to start sharing Christ with everybody. And what I'm trying to tell you here is that I was afraid. That I was afraid, and I felt inadequate. And the truth is that we all feel that sometimes, don't we? I'm glad that God showed up and he did this work in me, because I began to share with people who Christ was, and it was a powerful turning point in my life. And let me tell you something. Getting up and preaching and stepping out into your calling, I still get afraid sometimes. I still get afraid sometimes. Especially when you understand how important it is to share God's word. And that I'm going to answer to God. We don't go lightly into these things. And I felt like I was alone. And I felt like this responsibility that God put on me, like I couldn't fulfill it. And the truth is that God has given every one of us here a responsibility tonight. And if we're honest, we would say that sometimes we also feel that we cannot accomplish what God is calling us to do. If we're really honest and we put away all the vibrato and we get down to the to just like who we are and we talk, we might say, you know what? I'm afraid sometimes because I feel like I can't accomplish what God is calling me to do. Sometimes as parents, we feel this tension of what we know we should do, and we look at our kids and sometimes we feel like bad parents and we say, I don't know what to do. I feel like sometimes we got saved when we were older and we have adult children and we're saying, man, I blew it with them. It's too late. But we feel this tension that we feel like we can't do it, like we're on our own. We feel it in our relationships. How many of y'all have ever been in a relationship where you had a fight with somebody? Now let me just rephrase it. Everybody raise up their hand real quick. Because that's every one of us. But we feel it in our relationships when we know that God wants us to live up to a standard with him, but we're not there. And we feel the tension of knowing where we're at and knowing where God wants us to go, and we just feel that tension. And sometimes that tension can feel so overwhelming, and we could be so overwhelmed by the big picture in front of us that we just freeze and we get paralyzed. Am I the only one that's ever been here? Young people can feel that, because as young people, we live in a society, I'm going to be young now, Pastor, we live in a society that look, man, it's so sexually charged and it's so anti-God that we've made God just an idea for religious people. And in some contexts, we've removed him altogether and we said, there is no God. And yet we believe that there's God as young people. And we feel that tension of wanting to live for God and wanting to do everything that he's calling us to do. But yet we live in this society and we're asking ourselves, can I truly do what God is calling me to do? And if we're really honest, even furthermore, we'll say that as believers, we know God wants us to impact people's lives and to share his word. But you know what? I can't do it. Let Pastor Micah do it. Let Pastor William do it. Let all the pastors of the city do it. That's what they get paid for, is what we say. And we lose sight that, guess what? We are here as pastors to teach you so that you can be equipped and you can go out and do the ministry. There's teachers and there's doers, but there's a tension. There's a tension there. Can I do what God is calling me to do? And I want you to sit in that tension for a minute, because it's real. And it really exists. And you can't keep faking yourself out that, oh, it doesn't exist. It's there. Because the enemy knows that the plan that God has for you is so great that the enemy's coming to try to destroy you. And he's coming at you with everything he got. He's trying to bring up old habits. He's trying to destroy your marriage. He's trying to destroy your integrity. He's trying to destroy your joy. He's trying to bring depression on you. He's trying to bring sickness on you. He's trying to destroy you in every way possible. Why? Because inside you, there was something great. Inside each and every single one of you is something powerful, something that this world has never seen. You know, in Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun. I disagree, because I've never been under the sun and you've never been under the sun. And we all have a unique opportunity to impact the world around us. How many of y'all believe that? But we feel like we can't do it. And there's many great callings that are never started, because it's like being on a journey of 1,000 miles, but we stand up and we just think about the 1,000 miles, and then before we know it, we sit down because I can't walk 1,000 miles. But we don't even take that first step. And that's all I want to communicate to you tonight. I want to communicate something again, very simple to you tonight. We feel within these tensions like life is against us. We feel like life is blowing against us, and we're trying to, it's trying to prevent us from going where we're trying to go. It's trying to prevent us from becoming who we know we are to become. It's trying to prevent us from doing what we know we're supposed to do. And this fear has gripped and paralyzed many Christians in the church today. It's gripped pastors and leaders that have great idea and potential, but sit back because we're afraid. We're afraid to try. We're afraid to risk. What happened to us? When we were out gambling in the world, we risked getting killed to be down for a gang. We risked our freedom to be stupid. We risked all our money to win $1,000 in return or whatever. But now we won't risk anything for God. We just want to play it safe now. We just want to back up and push the world out and retreat into the church and play and just kick it in our little safe little zone right here. But we cannot deny the voice that is calling to each one of us. Each one of you are here tonight, and you know what I'm talking about. You know when nobody's around, and that stirring that's in you, that's calling you towards deeper devotion, that's putting ideas in you, that's putting vision in you, that's speaking purpose to you, and you're feeling him calling you out, but yet you're still in the situation. Is what I'm saying making sense so far? I want you guys to understand that as long as we are in this tension and we don't move, the enemy is winning. The enemy's winning. The enemy is winning when we're in this tension. But it's in this tension where we begin to see God in a new way. We begin to see him showing up in a new way. And so I have felt the burden of not feeling like I could do what God called me to do. I cannot be what God has called me to be. You have felt that. And you know what is awesome? I think Jesus knew we were going to feel this, because the Bible has something to say about this. So if you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. And I think as we began to read this, I think that what's interesting to me is I feel like God set these brothers up, man. This was like a setup, man. I think Jesus set them up. And you'll see what I mean in a minute. And then I'll try to tie that in. But before we start in verse 22, what you got to understand is that at this point, they had just in the previous verses of chapter 14, Jesus had just fed the 5,000. The disciples had been walking with Jesus for a considerable amount of time at this point. They knew who he was. They were close to him. They had just seen one of the greatest miracles recorded in the Bible. Were 5,000, and that's just the men were fed with a couple of pieces of bread and a few fish. And here they were on the tail end of that great experience where they saw Jesus show up and do something powerful. And now we find ourselves in verse 22, and this is what it says. It says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, He went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. Cried out, "Lord, save me." And in verse 31, the Bible says that immediately again, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So I want you to see that after a time of being in church, this is what happened. After a time of experiencing God, they found themselves in this challenging place. In verse 31 again, it says, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" I think that when we read that verse, we try to put an exclamation point after "why did you doubt?" as if he was scolding him. "Why did you doubt, Peter?" But I've never experienced Jesus like that. I think Jesus leaned into him very tenderly as he rescued him from the water. And he said, "Mijo, why did you doubt me? Don't you know that I'm here? I've always been here. There's nothing to be afraid of." And that's my point that I want to give to you tonight. There is no fear in trying because God shows up every time. Super simple. That when you begin to understand that God is with you, that it doesn't matter what waves are pressing against you. It doesn't matter when the tension of trying to go from where you're at to where God wants you to be. It doesn't matter how many waves are blowing against you, crashing against you. It doesn't matter how afraid you are. God is with you. And every single person that was called by God had a similar encounter where they were afraid. And you know what God said to them all? "I am with you. I'm with you." If we begin to understand that God truly loves us and he's truly there, where is there room for fear when we know that God is with us? The Bible says that if God is for you, who can be against you? What could be against you? Why do we stand around paralyzed? Like if this is all that I'm supposed to be, I'm never supposed to be any better, any healthier, any smarter, any more impactful. And we say, "You know what? I'll just stay here. God, I'm just glad you saved me for heaven." And yes, I'm grateful that God saved me to get to heaven. But you know what? I know that God has way more for me than just to go to heaven. He wants me to live the abundant life here on earth so that I would impact people all around me. And guess what? It doesn't matter where I go. I've made up in my mind that I'm going to be the guy that goes and tries to just be positive and smile and high five. I don't do good all the time like that because I'm in my own tension. But I've stepped out of the boat into the unknown. And guess what? Even when I begin to sink, he's right there. So that's what I want you to see more than anything, is that God is not going to let you drown as you step out of the boat, as you begin to dream about what God has for you to do for the kingdom of God, or you dream about the family he has for you, or whatever. Sometimes we have a tension with addictions. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. I could come to church and polish up and nobody knows. But then we go home and we're battling with addictions. You know, I think it's something like 80% of men in the church battle pornography. We do not have to be bound by that. We do not have to just lay down and settle for that. We could step out into the unknown and we could walk on water and accomplish the impossible. Why? Because he's with us. Not because I'm special, not because I'm smart, not because I have great ideas, but because God is faithful. He loves me, he loves you, and he loves this world. He loves this world around us. So why are we just settling? If God is with us, who could be against us? There is no fear in trying because God shows up how many times? I want you to get this in your head. Everybody say it with me. Say, there is no fear in trying because God shows up all the time, every time. It all works. Now say, there's no fear in trying. Tell your neighbor, because they're zoning out. They're already trying to argue with the message. They're saying, oh, he don't know what he's talking about. Look to him and say, there's no fear in trying. Because God shows up, what? Every time. I begin to call God. I give him, you know, like we were in that, I don't want to get it. We were in the you go on these tangents, you're like, oh, I got to come back, you know. We were in the Names of God series, and we began to understand the name Jehovah. You know what's crazy? That right here in the scripture, when he said, take courage, it is I. You know that the word he used there was Jehovah. And he referenced back to Exodus chapter 3 when Moses was about to go back to Egypt and deliver the Hebrew slaves. And he was afraid. And he said, who am I, God? I stutter. And he began to tell him, he said, who do I tell him sent me? He said, tell him that I am sent you. What does that mean? That I am the self-revealing God, that I am that I am. That I am with you. That I have the power to do whatever I want. I can make the water like solid ground. I can do anything. And he used that same word right there. He said that same name. He said, I am that I am. Don't be afraid. But I want to circle back to verse 22 because it says immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side. That's what I'm saying. I think God set these guys up. God was like, all right, we're going to teach you a lesson tonight. And I'm going to teach you about the fact that I'm already there. Your faith is at an all-time high, but now I'm going to put you in a boat and send you out into rough waters. And my point is that sometimes God will send you into environments that are uncomfortable. It will challenge your faith. Why? Because he's trying to grow you. He wants you to come to a point where, guess what? Cancer, I don't care, I believe in Jesus. I'm broke, I don't care, I believe in Jesus. All the winds of life are against me, I don't care, I believe in Jesus. I'm trying to live holy and everybody says not to, I don't care, I believe in Jesus. I have dreams of doing big things, but everybody says I'm the wrong guy, I don't care, I believe in Jesus. People say, oh, you're not the great leader. I don't care because he's the leader and I believe in Jesus. And what I'm trying to say to you is that we've got to learn how to tune out some of these voices around us and tune into God's word and realize that he's there for us. He's there for you. He's not just there for me or for a pastor. He's there for every one of us. How many of y'all believe that? So as you find yourself in the tension and you know that God is calling you to take a step, my question is, will you step or will you stay paralyzed in fear? Because there is no fear in trying because God shows up all the time. I don't know a time when God didn't show up for me. I don't. And I'm going to tell you, I've been in some tough predicaments. I have. I've been in some things where I question my faith. Not now, but I've been there. I question, God, is this real? God, I don't have no money. I have nothing. And God showed up and said, you know what? I'm still with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. And then in verse 24, I want you to see something else. It said, in verse 24, he said, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. You will find yourself far away from what is comfortable to you sometimes. Sometimes God will allow you to be far away. They were far away from the land. They were far away from that experience where they were just with Jesus and seeing him feed the 5,000. And sometimes you and I find ourselves in lonely places, far away from the place that was comfortable to us. But I believe with all my heart that even when we feel alone, God is right there with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. I'm not trying to impress you with Bible knowledge tonight. I want you to apply this simple step. That if you would step out, God would step forward to you. You know that the Bible says if you draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you? If you step out. And what is the most important thing that we could step out in? Not to get a raise, but just to step out in God's purpose to fulfill the great commission and the great commandment. Step outside of yourself. Step out of that boat that's rocking. And I guarantee you, you know, Proverbs 11:25 says, he who goes to refresh will in turn be refreshed. You know, we find ourselves in that boat and we're just overwhelmed by everything. And we say, God, help me. Help me. And the whole time we don't hear God's truth saying, I've already done everything for you, son. I've already given you everything, daughter. Walk in it. Walk in it. Walk on it. And you know what? Even if you begin to sink, he's going to show up. It's simple. I'm not trying to like, I think if you get that, if we get that, and we hide that truth in our heart, and we realize that we can attempt to do anything that God has put before us. Why? Because God is with us. Sometimes the tension of being in a prolonged state of struggle is exactly what we need. You say, what do you mean? Sometimes God is trying to change something about our character. He's trying to change something about our habits. He's trying to, see, we think that God, is relying on us and if, you know, like, we just think really highly of ourselves sometimes. We make gods out of ourselves, our ideas, our ministries, our abilities. But in the end, it's all filthy rags to God. And God says, you know what? I'm going to show up because I'm faithful. I mean, I had a friend who was a hardcore gang member in a prison in Puerto Rico. You know who led him to the Lord? An 80-year-old grandma who never did anything but drugs, went into the... I'm just telling you, God does powerful things in ways that we don't think. But sometimes the tension of being in that place is exactly what we need, because we need to discover who we are, but we also need to discover who God is. Step out. Now, I believe that God has put something in every single one of us. Are you sleeping on it? Or are you moving on it? Because the other thing I've learned in life is that the more that I practice this little bit of Spanish I know, the better I get. And then not only the better I get, the more I realize I actually know. But when I don't practice Spanish, then I lose it. That's how life is. You know, God has given you something, and we think it's enough to just dream about it, to just have good intentions. But it's not enough. We've got to do something with what God is putting inside of us. Really simple message. And again, in Matthew right there, he said, I am that I am. He showed up. So I want to ask you a question tonight. What is it that God has been stirring in your heart and stirring in your life? What is it that God is calling you to do for the kingdom? Because inside of every one of us, there's a gift. Inside of every one of us, there's a passion. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. We talked about how pain points to purpose, that the pain that we've experienced points us back to a purpose we're called to address. Pain points to purpose. But if we really realized that God was with us, we would have no fear in trying anything. Why? Because God shows up what? All the time, every time. You know that sometimes when you try something and you fail, that's not a bad thing. Because then you just learn one other thing that maybe you're not supposed to do. Or maybe you learn that I've got to develop a skill in this area to be better at it. But you would never know what's inside of you until you stepped out and you tried something. And there's tons of Christians and tons of believers who are going to their graves with talents, passions, and abilities hidden inside them. They've never stepped out. You know, think of it this way. Guys in here who know about small engines, you can't just start a lawnmower. You have to do what's called priming the pump. You got to pump that little bubble, and it gets the fuel into the carburetor. And then once it's there, boom, that suction is created, and the fuel keeps flowing. That's how life is. We find ourselves apart from church for some time, saying, God, why don't you show up in my life? Well, you know what? How about just get up and take one step? How about instead of just staying in this area of defeat, staying in this area of helplessness, staying in the area. You know, the longer I ever, when I find myself in stressed out situations and I'm overwhelmed and I'm just kind of like just overcome by it, the longer I don't do anything, the worse my anxiety gets. You know what? It doesn't matter what you do. You just got to do something. Sometimes you just got to take one little step. And then when you take one little step, that pump is beginning to get primed. And you're beginning to realize, hey, I can take another step. You know, it's the same reason people, they have gym memberships, but they never go to the gym. But once they go to the gym one time, then they're like, I'm going to go again. And then they go again, I'm going to keep going. And then they keep going. How does this make sense to anybody? You've got to step out. We've got to step out. So I've got a question for you. And for the next couple minutes, I want you to think. And the question is on your handout. And I want you to ask yourself, what would you attempt to do for the Lord if you knew you couldn't fail? So I want you to take a couple minutes. And we're going to commit a little bit of time. Take a couple minutes. And I truly want you to just process this. Maybe we could get some music on or something. But I want you to process this. Because church is more about me giving you information. Church is about you going away and applying something in your life. So right now I want you to ask this question. What would you attempt, or answer that question, what would you attempt for the Lord if you knew you couldn't fail? So go ahead, just take a couple minutes. So go ahead and just take a couple minutes and write this down. What would you attempt to do? Let me give you another application question with that. Not only what would you attempt to do for the Lord, but what would you attempt to do for this area of struggle in your life? If you're struggling with addictions, what would you do? If you're struggling with whatever, what would you do? How many of y'all got something written down, or you're still writing something down? A couple of us. So I just want to reiterate the fact that church is a participation thing. It's not a come and watch a movie or hear a speaker thing. It's a participation thing. And so that's what we're going to do. So as you've gotten written that down, I want you to do what we've been doing over the last couple weeks. I want you to turn to your neighbor, and I want you guys to begin to share and share with them what it is that you would attempt to do. And then we're going to open this up again for discussion, and we're going to circle back to something we did 2 weeks ago. So go ahead, and right now you could turn to your neighbor, and I want you to just share with them, what is it that you would attempt to do for the Lord if you knew you couldn't fail? If nobody's by you, get up and go find somebody. Don't be shy. You could get in a group. It doesn't have to be couples. You could get in a group of 3 or 4, 5 or 6. So as both people are sharing, I want you to also take a minute and pray for each other. What would you attempt to do? So I'm going to ask somebody to help me. Where's the mic? Where's the mic? Yeah, you want to help? Yes, Joe. Yeah. Okay. So how many of y'all kind of wrote something down? Now we're going to do what we did a couple weeks ago, and Miguel's going to help me again, and okay, so we're going to start right here, and so we're going to start to have a discussion. So let me just circle us back, and real quick, can you put up that slide with the little graph? So a couple weeks ago, we had a discussion amongst all of us, and we started talking about what were some things that God was stirring in our hearts, and this was a result of some of those things. I kind of arranged them. They're not perfect, but we talked about physical needs, emotional needs, and spiritual needs, and we had things like assist homeless men, help people who are unable to clean their homes, create funds for church events, a whole bunch of stuff. It's on your back page. I'm going to circle back to that in a minute real quick, but I just want to know, what would you attempt to do if failing wasn't an option? So we're going to start right here. Go ahead.
Should I stand up?
Yeah, stand up so everybody can see. But hold the mic because she'll try to talk too long.
No, I will.
Just joking.
And I'll, if you let me sing, I'll sing along too. You know, this is just from personal experience. I have a lot of friends that are drug addicts, and, you know, I get them as far as to come to church. We talk on the phone. I pray for them constantly. But it's just to watch them fall so many times. It hurts me. They just can't defeat it. And if it was up to me, it's something I couldn't fail. I'd heal in the name of Jesus because they need miracles, and it's like the prayer is so long and the time is so long. That's what I would do. I would heal in the name of Jesus.
Okay. Amen. Come on, it takes a lot to say something. Remember, church is a participatory thing. So who else has their hand up? Anybody else? Somebody back there have their hand, or Miguel just walking around for? He's trying to get his workout tonight. He's like, I didn't get to go to the gym, so I'm gonna walk.
I'd like to get involved in music ministry, but I also like to get involved in prison ministry and go out like to the schools and to the youth and share testimonies and things of that nature.
Awesome. So prison ministry, singing, you know, Sister Becky plays the guitar. I don't know if y'all know that, but one day maybe she'll come and play the guitar for us. Could play some Santana for us. So anybody else, what would you attempt to do right here?
I would just try to reach out to everyone and anyone just to save as many souls as I can before the Lord comes back. We're saved already, but it's not about us, and the Lord's coming back, and we need to just reach out and just, we're not consumers, but producers, and give back, and just reach out. It's just, I can't even say, we just need to reach out.
Amen. Come on, I know God's speaking to somebody else. We got a couple over here.
Something I want to do is I want to go to college at Liberty University, and then I want to get a bachelor's degree. And in here in Colorado, I want to teach a class, like a Bible class in a Christian school.
And help. Awesome. Come on, give Levi a hand, man. How many of y'all know that if he does that, we all benefit from that? Right. See, here's the other thing about this whole thing about being the body is we all benefit when one person does good. When we work together, we all benefit, you know? So praise God. Hey, go ahead. You got somebody else back there? Nobody else over here? We got somebody ready to talk? What would you attempt to do?
Well, right now, my girls in my group home that I'm working with, I'm teaching them the Mary and Martha book and how to understand and use the Bible. But my next step is to try to teach them how to do street ministry.
Okay, cool.
On the street and show them what other people do with their faith, you know, and how to make their faith be put into action.
Amen. So what are some, getting these people, these women she's been working with to get out and share their faith and to do ministry. Anybody else? Come on, somebody else. Nobody else wants to share. What would you attempt to do over here? All right there, go for it.
Besides being able to work with kids that have exceptional illnesses, I'd like to be able to go back to the neighborhood where I came from and be able to plant seeds for the salvation of people's souls through Jesus Christ, because back in the day, people would follow me to different places, and now I just want them to see what knowing and having a personal relationship with Jesus is really all about, and the neighborhood where I came from.
Amen. So again, there is no fear in trying, because what? God shows up all the time. Every time he shows up. We have some people over here, and then I want to share with you why we're doing this. You might say, why are we doing this, you know? 2 weeks ago, we shared something. Somebody came up with an idea. Who had the idea about the connection board or whatever, something like that? I thought it was you. So listen, Carol came in, one of the other sisters, and she's like, I think that's a great idea. And she started working on it, and she's wanting to connect with you so you could work on it. And so we just want to start creating a place and environment where, guess what? Church is about us going out and accomplishing the impossible, accomplishing what God has put in our hearts to do, because there is no fear in trying, because why? God shows up all the time. Go ahead over here. Oh, yeah, right here, Christy. Don't be shy, Christy.
So I want to do a homeless shelter, but not like a normal homeless shelter. I want to do, like, have vans to help take them to work, have help get them jobs, help clothes, food, everything, not just... I mean, I've seen homeless shelters where it's just like, okay, you could only be here for this time to this time, and then you have to go out. But who knows what they're doing out there? You know, they, if you just let them go out there, then they're just going to go out there. They're lost. They don't know what to do.
Amen.
I want them to know that there's people out there that actually do care. And then I want to have, like, the church in there, too, and just everything. I have a lot of ideas. But yeah.
Big dreams. Big dreams. Give her a hand. Right over here. I like to hear dreams that sound big. Like, when she said homeless shelter, I didn't picture an apartment. For some reason, I pictured a huge, big apartment building, like, type structure. Go ahead.
Amen. I'd like to start a business, my own business, and this has always been a dream of mine, to where everybody there would be Christians, brothers, sisters, start a business, and when other people from the street came in to buy something, actually what they were going for would be for free. Because everybody there would be Christians, they could minister to people coming in. That would be a dream.
Okay. The free market.
One thing that I see that's really, that this world is lacking is how a lot of parents are really slacking on how they raise their children in the house of the Lord, and I would really like to start something where, like, more like parenting classes to really show parents how to raise their children in the house of God, and so that these children that we are having will grow up so that they can learn how to love and give their life to Christ the way he has done for us.
Amen, amen. We share that same burden with you. Like, we see that same need. Matter of fact, pray for us. We're going to be writing a grant tomorrow to do something exactly along those lines so that we can try to just help parents be better parents and help, you know. So, and we want to engage everybody in this. Do we have anybody else that was holding up their hand? Go ahead. We have a couple minutes. I'm not in a hurry to go home. Are you in a hurry? Okay, don't answer because you hurt my feelings. But I think it's good that we share this.
Sorry, I just had one more idea that's been on my mind lately. I'm wondering, how can I possibly go out and help somebody else if I myself am broken inside or what? So here's my idea, is that I thought, you know, like, the women's group is a great study, but that's exactly what it is it's a study. And so I was wondering, like, if we could get a group, you know, whether it be co-ed or not, or just like once a month or once every 2 weeks, whatever the case may be, just to have small groups, because if you have large groups, been there, done that, and it's like being in a large classroom, people don't get the time that they need, or, you know, whatever. And just to talk with amongst ourselves about, hey, you know what, this is happening with me right now, maybe to get advice or just have a shoulder and an ear or somebody, because, you know, if I myself am broken, how can I possibly go out and fix somebody else?
Amen. So be part of small groups and stuff like that. How many of y'all know that's what we should be doing anyway? I mean, we should just be connecting and having relationships with each other. That's what the body of Christ is all about. That's what body life is, you know. That's why we want to know each other and we want to connect. Does anybody else have anything they're burning to say? Teddy, we'll finish with you. And then I want to introduce these to you and tell you about something real quick.
God, I was saved today. God, save me.
Amen.
It's new for me.
Amen. Amen. Give it up for Teddy, man. He got saved. Listen, so here's the deal. So we talked a little bit about this tension of what would we do what would we attempt to do if we knew that we couldn't fail. A couple weeks ago, we put up all these needs, all these lists, and I just wanted you to remember them. They're on the back of your handout. Now my question is this. What would truly happen if every single one of us in here quit, went from just playing the mode of attending church, and we said, you know what, I want to get up and be the hands and the feet of Christ, and I want to go out and let my light shine, not only in my workplace, but I want to do that together. What could happen to our families? What would happen if you stepped out into your dream? How would that change your family? How would that change this church? How would that change our community? You got to understand that every moment that passes and you don't step out on your dream, guess what? We all lose. Because God is putting something in your heart. God didn't call you just to simply just take up space, but God called you to get busy for his kingdom. And you can step out. And I know what you're saying. And I think there's kind of a big answer to that. I think part of that is just continuing to grow in the word. But if we're continually consumed and not doing anything, we're in that idle place, and then the problems seem so big that we just keep thinking we need more fixing. When the truth is, we don't need more fixing. We need more Jesus. We need more word. And we need to step out, because the Bible says, again, he who goes to refresh will in turn be refreshed. And once you start moving and you start exercising your faith and you start helping people, all of a sudden God begins to heal that brokenness in you. And you begin to realize that, wow, the enemy's just been telling me lies about how broken I really am. I'm not as broken as he tells me I am, because God has completed me. How many of y'all believe that? And when you see that, it's like being on a map and then being reoriented. All of a sudden you know where you're at, and now you know where to go. Does that make sense? So we have these cards, and coming up in April, we're going to start something that we want to call Network Saturdays. And what Network Saturdays is it's a day where we're all going to go out and do different projects. It could be some of these projects. It could be a project that you lead. It could be you could put a group together and we go feed homeless people. We can go and minister to people just by cleaning the yards or whatever. But the thing is, the ideas and the workforce is you. It's you. And unless you say, I want to do something and I want to be part of a team that goes out once a month, and not every month, just once a month. You can come on one month and not come the next month. But I believe once you come once, God is going to get a hold of your heart. And you're going to keep wanting to do ministry. Brother Arnold was talking to me today, and he was telling me he went to go visit a brother who was dying. And he said, man, I went to go encourage him. But this brother ended up just being the most positive out of all of us. And he was encouraging me and ministering to me. He was saying, hey, we're all going to die anyway. In case you didn't know this, you're going to die someday. You're going to die. Or Christ is going to come back. I've met no immortal man yet in this sense, you know. We're all immortal spiritually. But... and he began to just talk about how overjoyed he was. And I'm going to call you out again, Arnold. And then Arnold calls me this morning and he says, you know what? He has a phone this size. He was like this. He's like, hey, brother. He's all, ding, 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 ding. He's all, hey, bro, it's snowing today. And you know what? I don't have nothing to do, so I'll do anything. I was like, really? He's like, yeah, I'll sweep snow. I'll do whatever. I'm going to come to the office. I'm like, all right. He shows up at the office. And I just want you to know that that's what we need. That's what the church needs. People that say, you know what? I don't care what it is. I'll show up to do whatever. But I know that Arnold was fired up because he had an experience last night. And because he's went from a place of kind of being relaxed for a while. And now he's starting to get busy again and starting to minister to people. And is God feeling you or what? I put him on the spot. No, just joking. Listen, so I want to know who would be willing to come out on a Saturday and to be part of a team and to plan and to put together projects. We want to help you. We want to just go out and reach our community, because we know that if we don't do something, guess what? We're just fooling ourselves that we're a church. I'm just saying, God wants us to do something. Christianity is not about just agreeing with doctrinal statements. You know, the devil will agree with the truth, but he doesn't walk the truth. That's what it is. It's about what we do. It's about, I like what you said. We're not consumers, we're producers. So tonight, I'm giving her credit for that, but next week, I made that up. We're not consumers, we're producers. So right now, if you would be interested in coming and being part of a team and being part of this and just at least giving one Saturday in the next year, and you want to come and hear more about this and plan and help us to develop a ministry that God has put inside your heart, help us to develop a dream that God has put in your heart, I want you to raise up your hand and we're going to pass out these cards. Go ahead. We're going to pass out all these cards. Now, if you say, hey, maybe I don't want to show up, but this is something I really want to pray for. I'll pray for this. And I not only want to help, but I want to pray. I want you to get a card in your hand also. And we're going to fill out these cards. And this is what's going to happen. You're going to turn this card right back in. So you're just going to give us your information real quick. Ushers, I need you to collect these at the back of the room, at the back of the sanctuary, and then I'm going to call you within the next couple weeks. We're going to schedule a time where we all come together and we start dreaming and praying and working and planning on doing some stuff. And I guarantee you that God is going to do something special. You might say, hey, this is way different than any church service I've ever been to. This is way different than what I've experienced. You know what I would say? Good, because I want it to be. And we're going to do something powerful together. How many of y'all believe that? How many of you believe we could do something together? Father God, I just come to you right now and I thank you for your mercy and for your grace. And I thank you for what you're doing in our lives. And I thank you, Lord God, that there's no fear in trying because you show up all the time, Father God. You are right there with us. Father God, you said you would never leave us. You would never forsake us, Father God. Give us that confidence to know that just like Peter, we could step out into the unknown even though the winds of life are coming against us. That we can make a difference even though we're not perfect. Father God, let us get hold of that truth tonight. In Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Thank you.
Amen. Give the Lord some praise. That was a good word of encouragement tonight. And always keep in mind that whatever fills your spirit balances your soul and controls your body. You got to understand that it's like a boat. He was talking about boats tonight. A boat that is bottom heavy will not tip over easy. But if a boat is light on the bottom, it's easily tipped over by the waves and storms of life. So whatever fills your spirit, that's the bottom. When your bottom is filled, your spirit is filled with nothing but God, then what fills your spirit balances your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And then your body is under control. The reason why we get so out of control in our bodies, in the lusting and the pride of life and all of the things that go with the affairs of this world, is because our spirits are weak. And when we fill our spirits with the Word of God, then we have a balanced soul. Our minds will be balanced. Our willpower will be balanced. Our emotions will be balanced. And then our bodies will be under control. So keep that in mind. You are spirit, soul, and body. And we were not meant to stay in the boat. Think about that. And you know, and I like this story about Peter stepping out of the boat because he walked on water. He did that which Jesus was doing. And not only did he walk on water, but listen, some of you say, yeah, but he sank. That's because he got his eyes off of Jesus and put it on the boisterous waves of the sea. But even though he sank, he had sense enough to say, Lord, save me. And you know what happened? The Lord picked him up, saved him, and they walked back to shore together. I don't think they got back in the boat. Jesus might have got back in the boat, but Peter probably stood out there saying, no, as long as Jesus got his hand on me, I'm going to stay out here on the water. Amen. I kind of like to think that. But listen to me carefully. It's important to understand that God wants us to take a risk. Risk is right. A lot of people say risk is wrong. No, risk is right. A man that risks nothing wastes his life. That includes you women. Amen? You want small groups? Risk being a part of a small group. Get involved. You want a shelter? Risk going to a shelter and helping out. You want something for parents? Risk being a parent in a Sunday school class to begin with. Risk is right. And when you don't take a risk, you waste your time and you waste your life. Especially when you risk it for Christ. So we got to start taking a risk like Brother Mike is trying to challenge us to do and step out there and not just talk about something. Let's get out there and do something. Amen? And let's do it. Listen, don't say, well, we're going to wait for the pastor to do it. No, I've already got a lot to do. Amen. If it's your vision, you run with it. Just write it down, make it plain so we'll understand what it is, and then you run with it. I'd like to send this young boy to college, wouldn't you? Especially Liberty University. That's one of the great Bible schools in the nation, Bible universities in the nation. And I believe you're going to go, brother Levi. I believe that. I believe God's going to send you and use you, and we're going to help send you. I believe that. Amen. We're going to help send him to Liberty University. And so I want to thank you for being here tonight. Let's all stand. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. And I want you to remember that if God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, yes. Let's not just say that. Let's believe it. Let's believe it. And all of you that shared your dreams and visions, and what you would do if you knew you couldn't fail. You can't fail with Christ. If you do, you fail forward. The devil makes you fail backwards. That's why some of you never get ahead. You're always failing backwards. And when God sets you up, listen to me carefully, he sets you up on a tableland so you won't be all tensed and stressed. That's how you know it's God. When the devil lifts you up and exalts you, because he exalts people also, he puts you on a tightrope. You kind of have trouble balancing yourself and you're all stressed and you start to perspire and it's just not working right. But God gives you a tableland where you can walk freely and enjoy his blessings and not be stressed out. That's how you know the difference between God's blessing and the devil trying to think he's blessing you. So I want you to take a risk this week and do something that concerns your vision. Do something that concerns your dream that you talked about here tonight. Do something about that. I told Sister Gloria, my dream would be to start a huge gathering. Many of you remember the Promise Keepers, and some of you remember when you were younger, the Choir of the Fire for teenagers. They gathered thousands of teenagers once a year, several times a year in different cities. Thousands of teenagers. They're coming to Denver this summer, and they gather thousands of teenagers in one venue, in one auditorium. I'd like to do that for senior citizens. And I'm not talking about senior pastors and ministers and former missionaries. I'm talking about senior citizens over 55 because everybody gives up on us and we've got so much to offer. Amen? And by the way, most 55 and olders have lost the fire. So we do need an acquire the fire for senior citizens so they can get the fire back underneath their wheelchairs and seats and their arthritis and everything else that goes with it and get back out there and teach these youngsters what church is really about. Amen? Are you with me, seniors? Canes and all. Amen. All right. That's my dream. So I got a dream just like the rest of y'all. Father, I thank you for your goodness to all of us. Thank you for these wonderful people that expressed verbally. They spoke it out. Now all they need to do is write it down. Make it plain like the Bible says. That you may run with it. Run with the vision. And I thank you, Lord, that that's what's going to take place here in the next several weeks. And even in the months ahead of this year, we're going to see people's visions come to pass. And we thank you, Father, for loving us and keeping us and blessing us and allowing us to draw nearer to you, to fill our spirits with you, Lord, so that our soul will be balanced and our bodies will be under control. And we will not run from the devil, but he will flee from us. And we thank you, Lord, that in your name, we will accomplish that which you have planted in our hearts and in our spirits and that which you have placed here tonight verbally. And we give you thanks for allowing it to happen this hour in this day, in this generation, this year, for your glory. And we're careful to thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. That was a good time that we had here tonight. Don't miss out next week. We're going to dig into prayer and how to connect that way, because that's the key to making your vision come true, is prayer. May God bless you. We love you and appreciate you. Have a great rest of this evening.